Bibles to Psalm 75. It's a short psalm, and we'll read the whole thing. Psalm 75. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Twice in the opening of this verse, Asaph tells us, exhorts us to give thanks. We give thanks, O Lord. We give thanks. And what a fitting reminder with the Thanksgiving holiday just a few weeks away that we should be twice told to give thanks to God. But for what should we give thanks? Well, the whole of this psalm speaks of God's wondrous works which declare that His name is near us. The whole of this psalm is to remind us that God's work is near to each of our lives. In verses 2 through 8, we see how God manages the whole world, its times, its seasons, its events, the rise and fall of people, of institutions and nations. All things are performed at their proper time, and it is God and God alone who describes and determines the proper time. The judgments that He performs are altogether good. They are right. They are just. And they are final. God alone not only determines the time, but He determines what to do. And when that judgment comes, it is final. When His decisions are made, there is no appeal. The earth and its inhabitants are said to dissolve or to melt. There is nothing left. Throughout this psalm, we are to take our comfort from the fact that it is filled with warnings, in part because it is filled with warnings given to the wicked. God says to His people, I hear the boasts of the boastful. I see the wickedness and all their wicked deeds. I am the one that bears with the audacity of those that are strong. I am the one who hears the blustering of the proud. I note all of these events. And unfortunately, one of the great tragedies that has befallen all of mankind is that a hard heart puts a man in a situation where he is insensitive to understanding what God does in the world. The blind man, the insensitive, the hard-hearted man cannot see that it is God at work governing all of His creation in righteousness. Romans reminds us that these men are futile in their thinking and their hearts are darkened. They are unable to see God's wondrous acts throughout all of the world. They cannot see that power or influence or prestige or promotion are given by God. The hardest working man, no matter what his internal constitution or what his drive or determination, is raised only by God and he is lowered by God. It is God that raises one, it is God that puts down another. It is God that builds kingdoms, and it is God that destroys kingdoms. He brings them to dust. So what awaits the wicked as they boast against God? A cup. Call it the big gulp. It is a cup that awaits. It is filled with wine. And verse 8 vividly describes its color, its content, the depth, and the care of preparation. It is a fully mixed wine. It's not a hasty brew. It is something that came together through much perseverance and determination. It is something that has come to full measure. It is a mixture that will not be diluted. It is ready to be poured out. And when he pours the wine, the wicked will be made to drink their portion. So thorough will this consuming be that even the dregs will be poured. There will be not one drop remaining. The punishment for the wicked will be full. The psalmist ends this particular poem with instruction that we should declare and sing praises to God. Well, why? Is the punishment of the wicked and the proud and the boastful so necessary that we should focus on it? Well, we should focus on that. That is an important part in the history of redemption. But it is not the only chapter in the history of redemption. You see, at one time, we were all hard-hearted and boastful and proud and stiff-necked. And someone had to drink a cup of wrath on our behalf. And that person is Jesus. He asked for the cup to pass by, but if it was the Father's will, he would take the cup of wrath. And that cup was poured out, and Jesus was made to drink, even to the dregs, for the wrath of a holy God who could not abide sin in any way. In verse 2, we read that God melts or dissolves the earth and its inhabitants, but that he also establishes the pillars. See, this psalm is about destruction and construction. The psalm describes a pillar, a man named Jesus, who was given to us to establish and protect the church. Have you read your Bibles? Are you familiar with the stories that take place throughout all of the history of the world? The history of Noah and the ark, of God's rule over creation? Familiar with the history of Abraham? History of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, of Egypt and Joseph, and Assyria and the prophets and Rome. All these kingdoms that God established and God brought down. Why? To protect the church, to manifest his glory, to display his great name. Now, we may not be facing Babylon. We may not be facing Rome. In fact, we may even be Rome. But we should remember at all times God is the one who raises one kingdom or one man, and he is also the one who brings that man down. The growth and stability of the church at times seems to ebb and flow. It doesn't always appear to us to be something that is always climbing. It's not always growing. But it cannot be moved from its foundation because Jesus is the pillar of the church that God has established. God has crushed the kingdoms of this world. Some have yet to receive their full blow. Some remain thirsty for the wrath that God will pour out. But he will do so. And in the end, what will be left standing is the church of Jesus Christ. Twice Asaph told us to give thanks. Why? Because God has built a church and redeemed a people and given us a pillar who was made to taste of the wrath that awaits the world. Let us give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for this pillar, for the church, for your gifts to men. Stir our hearts and make us a thankful people. Help us to recall these wondrous works and to remember that your name is near. Be with us, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen.